I want to read a little bit. I'm trying to find today somebody to minister. During the day, I search for somebody to minister. When I come here, I search for somebody to minister. And I see if God will put anybody on my heart or bring anybody across my heart or mind. I wanted to wait before I ministered the last time, and the Lord let me wait. Wanted to wait till tomorrow, since tomorrow's my regular service. Wanted to wait till tomorrow to minister. The other night, I asked the Lord, I said, well, why, Lord, do you want me to go ahead and minister tonight when I was wanting to wait? I was tired. When I finally found out what the Lord was wanting me to do, why he wanted me to minister, it was because there was a man here from Atlanta, Georgia. There had come in a fellow from Atlanta, Georgia, that said he'd heard us over Big Gun. Brother Pike, I heard you over the Big Gun of Dixie. And said, I wanted to find out more about your ministry. He's a dental technician in Atlanta, Georgia. They got a big place there, work about 80-something people, I believe. But he said, I got attached to the ministry, kept talking like he really got attached to it, and he gave a $100 offering, and he also wanted some of the tapes. But anyway, the man had to leave. He had planned to stay longer. He'd come down and rented him a motel over in Athens, Georgia. And was in service with us a couple of times. And then he had to go back. He wanted to, said, Brother Pike, something come up. I've got to return. And the Lord let me know after that I had begun to minister why he had done it. This man had to leave. And he wanted me to minister that night. Now, it could be the very same thing. I was just thinking, Sister Ann Lou is sitting over here in the same place he was sitting, and she's got to leave tomorrow. And it might be something that I could say tonight that might encourage her or help her in what she's looking for in God. I don't know. That might be the reason. God does things in strange ways. You know, the way we do things in numerical order. How many of you know that? You know, we say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. See, 7 preachers, 7 night, 1 to each night. The Lord don't do it that way. He might say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. One preacher preaches 3 nights, another preacher preaches the rest of it. To do it just the way that he wants to do it. But I do try to work with the brethren and the ministers that come in as much as I can. I used to just give away altogether, and I just let them minister, and because I found out there wasn't no end. There's always ministers coming in, you know. And I found out there wasn't no end, but I'd still go on, and I'd just sit down for days and days and days. And God gave me a vision. In this vision, I had some ministers up, and I letting each one of them preach. And I waited, there's a whole line of them, and I waited and I let them preach. And then when I got ready to preach, the Lord wouldn't let me preach in the vision. And it really tore me up. And the Lord spoke to my heart and told me, he said, now that's not the way I want it. He said, I want you to preach. I called you to carry the gospel, and I want you to preach. You can work with the others, but I want you to preach this revelation. Care of the gospel, so I began to get in the harness a little better. You know, sometimes, brother, we lend our feelings. We say, well, I don't feel like preaching tonight, and the brother, he's here tonight, and he could preach, and I could preach tomorrow night, and we just, you know, it makes it a lot easier on us. But sometimes it's just not that way. All right, if you've got your Bibles, turn over into the book of Exodus with us, and I want to read some here. I think I'll read from the 8th chapter. I think I'll do it this way. Strange, it's talking about 4, 5, 6, 7. It said in 7 days. All right. Exodus chapter 8, and 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me, and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants, and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants. And from thy people they shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beasts. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants, and upon thy people and thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarm of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies in the house of Pharaoh, and into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God. And he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarm of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarm of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one, and Pharaoh's hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow. And all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And the Lord said unto Moses and to Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a ball breaking forth with blain upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven. And it became a ball breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the balls. For the ball was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth, and in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field. For upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, it shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regardeth not the word of the Lord left his servants and the cattle, his cattle, in the field. The Lord said unto Moses, Stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that thou may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field, throughout all the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thundering and hail, And I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hand unto the Lord, and the thunders shall cease. Neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, and spread abroad his hand unto the Lord, and the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more, and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart, and the heart of his servants, that I may show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son, and of thy son's son, what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, and want that one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field, and they shall fill thy house, and the houses of all thy servants, which neither thy father nor thy father's father have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servant said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron was brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it. For evil is before you, not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt, for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt, and eat every herb of the land, and even all that the hail has left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over the land, all the land of Egypt, and rested in all the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they before them. There were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once. I entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. Now, I read a lot of scripture tonight. I figured that we'd just take our time and talk with you a little bit, and we need to know a lot about the Bible. I usually just read a few verses or sometimes a chapter. I try to hold to a chapter if I can, because a lot of people never read the Bible until they, you know, they don't get any scripture until they come to church. And then when they come to church, and if the preacher doesn't read anything out of the Bible, then, well, they just don't get it. So then I read as much as I can because I want them to get it. I want them to understand the scriptures. I'm the kind of preacher, I can't preach to you unless I bring out something concerning the Word of God. A lot of people, they can just do almost anything, but I have to have the Word of God. I'm dependent on the Word of God. I have to have the Word of God if I preach to you. So I'm thankful tonight to read this to you, to be able to read it to you, because after this meeting, and this is one of the reasons I did it, after this meeting, there's going to be a terrific change. It won't be long before you'll see all of these plagues reenacted again, and you'll see these things coming upon the people. That's why I want to read a little of it and let you get it in your heart and in your mind, because we're coming into the season now to where God is going to do that. Here the Bible teaches that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Pharaoh would never have kept those people back if God had not hardened his heart. Nobody in their right mind would have rebelled against God with all of these plagues. You ever seen things happen to people? Maybe cancer come on them. Maybe some bad thing come on them and then God heals them. Or they go to the hospital and God allows the doctor to help them and then they get in better shape and the first news you know, here they go again, just like Pharaoh. Out of all that they did, they go right back to the very same thing again. No matter what God does to them, they still harden their heart, go right on in the same old willful way. You ever seen anybody do that? Well, that's just the way that Pharaoh did. See, it isn't that that person is hardening their heart. It is God that's hardening their heart toward him so that he can bring his wrath and his judgment upon the individual because he is not satisfied with their way of life. See, God was not satisfied with the way of life that Pharaoh had. He wasn't satisfied with it. He wasn't satisfied with the ways of the Egyptians. A lot of people say, well, Pharaoh just sinned and this horrible thing come upon him. Before Pharaoh was ever born into the world, God had already had a plan, already had a purpose and had everything ready. And he told Abraham way back there, when he said, Abraham, I want you to fix a sacrifice for me. And the Bible said that Abraham did the thing that God said. And he got doves and he got animals. And he divided those animals in half. And there as he divided them in half, God said, I want to show you something, Abraham. And when he got the sacrifice already, and he divided them into halves, all of a sudden a great darkness began to come over him. And Abraham began to go into, as it was, a deep sleep. A great darkness coming over Abraham. He didn't know what he was doing. He was just trying to do what God told him to do. Is that right? You know where a lot of people get into trouble with God is that they don't take things by faith. A lot of people, they want to see everything already mapped out and ready to go before they ever make a move. A lot of people won't go out and try to preach the gospel because they've got to have money. They've got to have everything mapped out. Everything's got to be just right before they'll make a move. But that's not faith in God. The Bible says that Abraham sojourned in a land of promise. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he was going to do. All he knew was that God said, Abraham, go forth and I'll make of you a great nation. And Abraham took it by faith when he said, get out of the land of thy kindred. He took it by faith and he went out by faith and sojourned in a land that he didn't know anything about. But God was willing to bless Abraham because Abraham believed God. And the Bible said it was counted unto him as righteousness. Is that right? It was imparted unto Abraham as righteousness. And the Bible said that Abraham is called the friend of God. Why was he called the friend of God? Because he believed in God. He believed what God said. When a man believes what God tells him, he is referred to as the friend of God. If you believe what God tells you, then you're the friend of God tonight. If you're not a believer, then you're the enemy of God tonight. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Why did he do that? Because it's out of the heart that comes forth the issues of life. It's out of the heart that comes forth faith. It's out of the heart that comes forth unbelief. And God saw Pharaoh's heart, that it was a heart of unbelief, and God hardened his heart to cause these great plagues to come against him. You know, the Lord has told the people of this world. He spoke to the great authorities and the powers of this world. And he's told them, he said, let the people go. Let them go. I want them to worship me. But all the time, there is more brick to be made. There's more living room suits to be bought. There's more refineries in the world that we've got to have. Everybody's got to have a house, a piece of land. Everybody's got to have a car. Everybody's got to have the things of the world. And as a consequence of that, we stay in Egypt all the time, grinding at the natural things of the world. Like Samson took Delilah took Samson, like the case there where he was in the dungeon, the hair cut off, grinding in the mill. That's the way a lot of people are today. They're just grinding and they don't know why they're grinding. They're not getting anything out of it. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, don't you think we ought to have all these things? If you want to have them, that's up to you. But the Bible said in the early church they took all that they had and they sold their lands and possessions and they laid them down at the apostles' feet. That's what they did in the early church. They wasn't going to make brick for Pharaoh. They wasn't going to grind in the dungeon like Samson did. They took all that they had and they laid it down for the work of Christ. They wanted to see the gospel go forth. Even in the days of Elisha, when Gehazi began to run after Naaman and want the things of the world, even as far back as then, when he came back, the great prophet Elijah said to him, said, didn't my heart go with you when you run after the world? And he tried to deny it. But Elisha said, I know that you ran after the world. And he said, is it a time to build houses and plant vineyards and do those kind of things? Why ain't we working for God? Why ain't we building the house of God? Every man runs to his own house, the Bible said, and lets the house of God lay waste. But it's time to build God's house. I believe we ought to build God a place. Hallelujah. Many years ago, God spoke to my heart. And God told me, said, son, said, I don't dwell in houses made with hands. He said, the kind of building that I want is a building of lively stones built up into a holy priesthood, a habitation for God who is a spirit. And I started out to build that temple. And I tried to build that temple. As I traveled around the nation, I tried to build that temple. As I began to build, I picked up followers and people that wanted a church home. And God began to speak to me about giving them a church home. I said, well, God, I've never built a natural temple in my life. I just rent a building and go there and have a meeting and then we just move on. But God showed me that he had a purpose and had a plan. And I said, Lord, if I build a building, I want to build you a nice building. I want to build you the kind of building, you know, a real beautiful building. And if I build one, I want to build it right. And God told me, said, I'll let you build it. I said, well, I ain't got no money. He said, if you'll go like Abraham by faith, I'll let you build it. And this is the building that we built for God here as a natural building. And I want you to know that there's another building that God's got. And that's a building of lively stones. And we've been working on a building. As the song says, all of this time, we've been working on a building for God. And God's knitting those lively stones together. And this building is just a typical thing of what God has been doing all down through the years. So then, we are not interested in building something natural, but doing something for God. God didn't want the children of Israel down there in the land of Egypt laboring at those natural things. But God has a plan and God has a purpose. And God had said to Abraham, he said, Abraham, you're going to have a lot of people following you. And he said, I'm going to make your seed, as the sands of the seashore, and as the stars innumerable. You're going to have a lot of following, Abraham. I'm going to give you a lot of children, Abraham. I'm going to make you the father of the faithful. He said, but I want to tell you something before it comes to pass. He said, the seed that belongs to you, it will go down into bondage in a place called Egypt.
and it shall sojourn in bondage 430 years. And said, after the 430 years, I will then raise up a deliverer called Moses, and the Spirit of God will be upon him, and this great man will be anointed of God, and the power and the demonstration of God will be found in the man's life, and by a mighty hand I will bring forth the children of Israel. Hallelujah. After the days are accomplished. They say, what do you mean by that? He said, after that the iniquity of the Egyptians are full. God never does anything haphazard. The Bible said when he was going to smite the earth, he said, Abraham, I'll appoint a time for tomorrow. Tell Pharaoh at a certain time tomorrow this will happen. In other words, God is not the author of confusion. He has a real systematic way of doing things. Have you systematic? Let me see your hand. You believe in system? A lot of people say, I'm against organization. I'm not against organization. I'm against denomination because denomination is of the devil. But I'm not against organization because God is organized. Hallelujah. Heaven's organized. Everything God ever did is organized. It's systematic. Everything's supposed to be that way. All right, so then the Lord said, when the iniquity of the Egyptians are full, said, once it's full, he said, I'll raise up a deliverer. And then when the deliverer comes, he'll bring forth the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. And so then we see here, as I read, that the days finally came to pass when the iniquity of the Egyptians was full, and God remembered his promise to Abraham. Abraham already gone, dead, passed on, not in the land anymore, but here God remembered the promises of Abraham. Hallelujah. That which he promised to Abraham. And tonight God still remembers the promises that he made to you through Calvary. Hallelujah. Tonight we still have the promises of Calvary. God has remembered those promises. He hasn't forgotten those promises. Every promise in the book is mine. As somebody said, every chapter, every verse, and every line, I'm trusting in the word divine, because every promise in the book is mine. Tonight, the promises are mine. I'm holding on to them. The devil, he'll come around and he'll say, oh, that can't be, Brother Pike. You know that that would never come to pass. Well, you know that you're not living good enough for that. And you know, besides that, it would take hundreds of years for you to ever get into the kind of place that you need to get into for God to do those things. But see, that isn't the way God works. God doesn't work by how long it takes you. God doesn't work by how righteous you are. God doesn't work by those kind of things. But God works according to the Word. The Bible said God's Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. God's Word is the same, see. It's the same to you. It's the same to me. It's the same to every generation. God's Word is the same. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'd love to do something for God. I can tell you one thing tonight. If you're waiting for some strange event to take place in your life, you'll never make it. You're going to have to take the Word. You're going to have to put your foot out there. The Bible said, wherever you set your foot, I'll give it to you. Isn't that right? He said, Joshua, he said, my servant Moses is dead. But he said, I want you to be of a good courage. I want you to be of a good courage. Isn't that some way for God to talk to a man? He said, I want you to be of a good courage. Hallelujah. Brother Ron, be of a good courage. A lot of people say, I'm of a good courage, Brother Pike. But are you really of a good courage? God said, be of a good courage. You say, what do you mean? I mean, when the hardships come, keep your faith in God. When the gossip has come, keep your faith in God. When things begin to go wrong, keep your faith in God. That's the way that God wants it done. God wants us to be of a good courage. He doesn't want us to faint in the way. We don't have to faint. The Bible said in due season we'll reap if we faint not. And we don't have to faint. We can reap. So then the time came with a promise. Like it said, it's concerning Abraham. And the days of the promise drew nigh. I like that, don't you? It said the days of the promise drew nigh. Hallelujah. God said, Abraham, son, I promise you. Old brother Abraham said, Jesus, I believe it. God said, Abraham, it's coming to pass. Abraham said, God, amen, I know it will. Hallelujah. Sister Sarah said, well, I don't know about that. But Abraham said, you just don't worry about it. It's coming to pass just like Jesus said it would. Hallelujah. Somebody said, how do you know it was Jesus? The Bible said, the Lord God. the Lord God. I don't know but one Lord God. Do you? Hallelujah. He's Lord and God, or Lord and Christ, because he made himself plain, both Lord and God, Lord and Christ. They recognized him not only as Lord, but as God. Is that right? So then when the time of the promise drew nigh, God said, Abraham, I've given you a promise, son. Something is going to happen. This dark cloud came over him. Everything turned dark. The sunshine was gone, and Abraham couldn't understand it. But see, the thing of it was, the darkness indicated the carnal mind of captivity that the church was going to have to go through. They have to go through a dark period of time. As a matter of fact, in the past history of our nation, they call it the Dark Age, where the church went through the Dark Age. It's the Pentecost, where it fell into the Dark Age, and they called it the Dark Age as it passed through this great darkness. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, the Dark Age is over. I'll tell you, the Dark Age wasn't just back there, but this America has been a Dark Age. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me there's been a Dark Age here? Well, we've had a good time, somebody said. I know you have off the garlic and onions, but I'm talking about a dark age for spiritual things. It's been a dark age. Somebody said, but don't you know all these great things have been going on? I know there's been a lot of magicians going out. I know there's been some men of God on the field, but I know there's been a lot of gimmicks that's gone out. A lot of gimmicks, a lot of magicians, a lot of false prophets that's been out there in the world working gimmicks. But I'll tell you what, God's got a Moses, hallelujah, somewhere, and it's not a false thing. It's not a gimmick. God wants to do the real thing, and God will do the real thing. So the time of the promise drew nigh. There came a time. See, the darkness came over Abraham. The darkness came over Abraham's seed. And all of a sudden, they passed through the great darkness. Even Abraham went to sleep. Now, isn't that something? In other words, he said, Lord, said, what is this? Abraham, you're going to go to sleep before all this thing takes place. But someday your seed, while you are asleep, a time of darkness, while you sleep the sleep of them that lay in the grave, there'll be a time of darkness, Abraham, that will come over your people. What is the darkness? It'll be the rulers of Egypt. It'll be that old Egyptian education that sprang out of the pits that came through the garden that come down upon the American people. Amen. Civilization goes right back to Egypt. That's where she springs up. And Egypt goes right back to the serpent seed, right back in the garden, that old warped, twisted tree of education and knowledge that the church people have crammed down the throats of their little fellas and can't understand why they don't live right. There ain't nothing more wretched, more low down than the educational system of the world. It has made prostitutes out of the women. It has made whoremongers and drunkards out of the men. It is a sorry system. Paul called it knowledge or science, falsely so called, because that's what knowledge means. Or science means is knowledge. It's a false thing, Paul said. Now, but Abraham had a real understanding of God. And the time of the promise drew near, God did not forget. At the time of the promise, God remembered the promise to Abraham. And so then Abraham, though Abraham was asleep, yet Abraham was asleep, yet God remembered his promise to Abraham and to Abraham's seed. Isn't that wonderful? God doesn't forget his promises. God never forgets what he tells you. Somebody said, God told me 3 years ago that he was going to heal me, but I've not been healed yet. Now, most likely God didn't speak to you, but if you know that God spoke to you, if you felt that little thing down in your heart, if you really got a hold of heaven and God gave you a promise, my friend, hold to it, because God will bring it to pass. Hallelujah, he will bring it to pass. God will keep his word. You hold on. The Bible said the time of the promise drew near. I'm feeling good, ain't you? You say, why are you feeling so good, Brother Pye? I'm feeling good because I know the time of the promise is drawing near. Hallelujah, it's drawing near. The time of the promise is drawing near. I'm watching. I'm waiting. I'm looking because I know that something's happening. I can hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. I know the move of God is on. I know that something is taking place. Hallelujah. I want to be part of it. I'm looking forward to being part of the move of God. So the darkness swept over. What is it? The civilization of the United States. Where did it come from? Egypt. What is this bunch of people in the United States and across the world, they're children of Egypt. Amen. That's right. Everyone's not born of God and not foreknowledge elect are bastard children. They come from the serpent seed. And so then when the darkness of the carnal mind sweeping from the dark age overshadows and comes on through here with their Trinitarian doctrine of teaching when they don't understand the Word of God in perverting the children of God and misleading the innocent. But God's going to take the veil off. God's going to take the darkness away. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, how do you know it, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said when the great veil came over Abraham, it was a darkness. Isn't it right? What was that darkness? He said, Abraham, you're a believer. You're a man of faith. But son, he said, over your seed there's going to be a veil. That veil of intellectual reasoning. That veil of Trinitarian teaching. That veil of Catholicism. That veil of misunderstanding. That veil of religious activities that is going to sweep over the minds of the people. And they're going to go through this great thing, Abraham. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, didn't Abraham's seed get down there in Egypt and then come out of that thing? My brother, how many of you know that we're Abraham's seed? Come on now. Hallelujah. Somebody said he's talking about them folks down in Egypt. Why, them people down in Egypt was just a type. Are you listening? The Bible said he's not a Jew outward as a Jew, but he that's inwardly a spiritual Jew. Hallelujah. Father Abraham. Amen. The father of the faithful. Father Abraham. How do you believe that? Hallelujah. I'll make you the father of the faithful, not the father of the Jews. But I'll make you the father of the faithful, isn't that right? You can number the Jews, but the Bible said you won't be able to number your seed, Abraham. Isn't that right? They'll be like the stars innumerable. Hallelujah. Father Abraham, the faithful. But he said, Abraham, this great faith, this great plan of salvation, this great redeeming plan, this great translating power that Enoch had back in that you've got in your life. He said, this great plan is going to get swallowed up. Going to get covered up by this old carnal reasoning, by the old carnal plans of mankind, by the Antichrist system of making money and getting gain in education, by this religious activity that's coming out. He said it's going to be covered up. This great mind of God, this great faith is going to go through a dark, dark time, Abraham. But he said, don't worry now. Don't worry, he said, when the day of the Egyptians, the cup is full, he said, then I will send a deliverer and he will bring them out with a mighty hand. Is that right? Now then, going through the darkness, moving through the darkness, hallelujah. Now Abraham thought, well now, you know, God, you got to give me a promise. You got to give me a sign. You got to let me know something. And God said, just take those little things, Abraham, and cleave them in half. He said, because at the darkest point of this thing, he said, Abraham, I want you to know that when the darkness is at the greatest, I'm going to rend the veil, Abraham. Hallelujah. Praise God, I'm going to manifest Calvary. He said, at the very darkest hour, I'm going to rend the veil. I'm going to get that old darkness and hit it right down the middle and separate that old carnal mind, unveil it, and bring the spiritual revealing of the revelation of the sons of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring forth a manifestation of an army that will see eye to eye, walk hand in hand, that won't break ranks and won't pierce each other through. I'm going to bring forth a bunch of gods in the earth. Can you receive it? Jesus said, you're gods. I'm going to bring forth some gods in the earth. He said, who is it going to be? Hallelujah. God John. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God John. God Brother Taylor. Hallelujah. Who is it going to be? Praise God. It's going to be some gods in the earth. Jesus said, I called you gods, but ye shall die like men. Is that right? Hallelujah. Because of your unbelief, because you won't take hold of your benefits, because you won't believe in the promise. He said you're going to die, but you don't have to die. You don't have to die. God doesn't want you to die. But you're going to die like a man because you won't believe what I'm telling you. He said, my words are spirit. My words are life, Jesus said. Hallelujah. If you can believe it, Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. Is that right? He said, but you're going to die like a man because you won't believe it. Suffer the penalty of death because of the mark of the beast. Suffer the penalty of death because of the serpent seed. Suffer the penalty of death all because you won't believe the words of life. Is that right? Paul said, I show you a mystery. God doesn't want us to die. God doesn't want us to die. He said, you're gods, and I don't want you to die. You're gods, I don't want you to die. You're gods, I don't want you to die. God has no pleasure in death, my brother. Death, the Bible said, is the enemy of God. It's not a friend of God. It's the last one to be conquered. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, we'll have to wait till God conquers it. But the Bible said, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. I give you power over sickness. I give you power over disease. I give you power over unbelief. I give you power over poverty. I give you power over death. Somebody said, where do you read he gave us power over death? He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not kill them, harm them. Make up serpents, won't harm them. Why? You got power over death. You got power over death. Somebody said, well, why do we die? Because of your unbelief. You die like men when you're gods. God's never wanted man to die. He didn't create Adam to die. The Bible said death came by man, not by God. God didn't instigate death. God never created death and put death down here. The Bible said man brought death. How did man bring death? By his unbelief. Hallelujah. When Adam disbelieved God, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The day that you disbelieve my word, that's the day, Adam, you're going to die. Folks, the just shall live, continue to live, be alive by faith. Is that right? The just shall live by faith, but if you disbelieve, you cut the lifeline. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If God is the spirit of life, how can I get a hold of life? By the antenna of faith. Hallelujah. I moved my faith up into the heavens. This religious thing of going to church and saying a prayer, shouting your hair down and the Barbie pins out and kicking your shoes off, there ain't nothing to that. Somebody getting up reading the scripture and telling you all you got to do is wait, Jesus is coming, there ain't nothing to that. My brother, there's a word of life and we've got to get a hold of it. Hallelujah. We're not playing a guessing game. There's a word of life. God, Jesus Christ, the Word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Word. Oh, don't you see that? Don't you see that? The Word. The Bible said the Scriptures appeared to Abraham. The Word. I know Scripture means scribe. You know, the scribes would scribble, so they call it scribblings of Scriptures. Are you listening? Hallelujah. I know that. But the Bible refers to it in a language we can understand, the scribings. Is that right? The scribings, the scriptures. But before there was ever a scribing, they were the spiritual God. God in the beginning was the Word. God was the Spirit. God is the Spirit. God always has been the Spirit. God always will be the Spirit. What kind of Spirit? The Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word said, let there be. And there was. Hallelujah. The Word said, let there be a heaven, and there was a heaven. The Word said, let there be an earth, and there was an earth. And the Word said, let there be trees and fruits and fishes and birds. And the Word said, let there be a human being called Brother Dennis. And there was a Brother Dennis. The Word. Then is it any marvel that if the Word had control of these things, that one day, you know, the Word always has to speak through a man. Always. Always. God never done anything without a man. You can't show me a place in the Bible where God ever done anything without a man. Never before. How do you know that God's going to judge the world by a man? The man Christ Jesus. Somebody said, bless God, I'm not following a man. You'll never get salvation because he was a man called Christ Jesus. Is that right? How did the heavens get here? It got here by a man. Somebody say amen. How did it get here? It got here by a man. Who was the man? The Word. Who was the Word? Jesus. In the beginning, Father, the glory I have thee before the foundation was. Is that right? It was the Spirit speaking through the Son. And the voice, which was the Word, said, let there be, and there was. The Bible said all things was created by him, and without him was nothing made. Is that right? Everything was ever made, Jesus the Word made. Is that right? The Spirit brought forth the Word, and that Word was the Son, and that Word was the only God you'll ever see, the only God you'll ever know, the only God that ever spoke anything into existence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? It is the Word, the great God of heaven and earth, personified in the Son of God. The great personification of God, the eternal Spirit. For in the beginning I said, God had no form, as far as our comprehension. God had no form as far as a human being knowing God. But according to the Bible, when God personified himself in Christ Jesus, our minds comprehended God. That's right. And when that veil was rent in twain, out of that veil stepped the personified God. No longer was he the unknown God as a spirit, but he was a personification. You say, how did he become personified? Because in Jesus, I could comprehend him. I couldn't comprehend him until he got in Jesus. He was too big for me. The Bible said heaven and earth couldn't contain him. But when the fullness of him got in Jesus, I comprehended him. How did I do it? I said, God is love. God is a healer. God is a savior. I got a form of God. I got a picture of God. I got a personification in my mind. I comprehended him. I saw him as a man. I saw his abilities. I saw the way he moved, the way he thought. I saw this through Christ Jesus. Is that right? And then when the veil was rent in twain, out stepped the Holy Ghost God. Out stepped the same God by which Mary conceived, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Out stepped that God, hallelujah, out of the personification of Christ. Out he came, stepped out of the veil, rent the veil in twain. Brother Taylor saying now he's the mighty conqueror because he rent the veil in two. He stepped out of the personification of Christ. Today I know him. Today I understand him. Why? He made himself God, and the word God means object of worship. Before he personified himself, there was no such thing as an object of worship. You couldn't find God to worship him. Hallelujah. You say, can you prove it? I can prove it, my dear brother. Hallelujah. You say, how are you going to prove it? When he spoke to them through the donkey, he didn't want them worshiping a donkey. A donkey is not the object of worship. He spoke to them through a mountain. But a mountain didn't express God. That's not the object of worship. Come on now. I said he spoke to them through a dove, but a dove is not the object of worship. God spoke to them through the burning bush, but the burning bush is not the object of worship. And then he spoke to them through a man. Hallelujah. And he said, Aaron, I'll make Moses a God to you. Amen. Isn't that right? He spoke to him through a man. And a man became the object of worship. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I'll make them come to kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. Hallelujah. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that a natural human being is the object of worship? No, I'm talking about the sons of God. Hallelujah. The nearest thing to that man is a beast. I said the nearest thing in that garden to a man was a beast. Is that right? He made Adam the object of worship. Come on, folks. You say, how do you do it? He put him over the trees. He put him over the garden. He made him the master of everything. Everything had an option to him. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, that was Adam. How do you believe that last one was Adam too? How many believe it was Adam too? The Bible says the second man, Adam, still the object of worship. Is that right? Hallelujah. Put him over everything. Somebody said, you mean I ought to worship a man? I said, God made man in his own image. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's the way he made him, his image. He made him his own image. But there was a beast in that garden. And that beast looked like a man. Come on now, folks. I said, the beast looked like a man. Hallelujah. Looked like a man. He walked like a man. He talked like a man. Acted like a man. But you know the difference? Hallelujah. He was given to the appetites of the flesh. I said, you can tell the difference. That old five senses of his that lust is under envy. That old five senses of his, he just got to satisfy sex passion. That old five cents of his just out of satisfied loaning for money, for prestige and the things of the world. I said you could tell the difference. They that walk in the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. They that walk in the flesh mind the things that be of the flesh. Come on, folks. God said, Satan, you savor, love the things that be of this world. He spoke to Peter. Is that right? Somebody say amen. Give me a few more minutes. Hallelujah. And the time of the promise drew near. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. If I was a dancing man, I'd dance all over this place. Hallelujah. And the time of the promise drew near. So then, hallelujah. Say, well, can't you dance? I sure can. Say, well, why don't you cut loose and do a little of it? I never did see Jesus do it. I never read where he'd done it. I know once in a while you can do it. The Bible said David danced before the Ark of the Covenant with all of his might. The Bible said praise him in the dance. That's all right. You praise him. I started years ago to do that. But I got to thinking about Jesus. Once in a while I do it off by myself, you know, when I'm just praising God. I do it by myself. I get back there and I shout and jump and holler and praise and jump up and down and dance. Might do it here before you any time. I've done it. Might do it, but I just don't make it a practice because I never did find out where Jesus did. All right, now, I love the Word. I love to stay with the Word. All right, now, I love to see people do it, though. I sit over and holler, amen, glory to God, praise God, because it's all part of the ministry. Is that right? All right, now, let's go back just a little more here. So then, there is something that looks like a man. Is that right? What is it? It's a beast. Where's that garden? Right here. You say, but Brother Pike, this couldn't be the garden, but it is the garden. Somebody say, you couldn't believe that, but it is the garden. Hallelujah. You say, well, why do you say that? Because the briars has grown up. The thorns have grown up. The nettles have grown up. Naturally, physically, and spiritually have grown up. Is that right? The natural thorns has grown up in the natural fields. God does things in a trinity because he's a God. Made in his image, not three persons, three in one. Body, soul, and spirit. Is that right? So then, the briars has grown up on the natural earth. You can't find the beauty of it. You can't find the flowers. Is that right? Same way with the physical dimensions. The briars have grown up. What is it? The thorns and thistles of heartache, or rather of cancer, TB, physical afflictions. Is that right? And in the spiritual, the briars have grown up. What is it? Heartaches, demons of sorrow, demons of lust, all of these things. Is that right? The briars have grown up. But we've got to clean it up. What happens? God goes into the spirit. He cleans that up in there. Then it's up to you and I to clean this up out here. And then it's up to the sons of God to clean the world up. The world's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Is that right? To turn it back into the garden. But what's the trouble? There's another thing in that garden. What is that thing? It's the nearest thing to a man. I tell you, it's an educational machine that knows how to make money and knows how to play the cards right. It's an educational device. It's a man walking around, a thing that looks like a man. But he's a beast. He's not a man. He looks like a man. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? So then, man is the object of worship. The devil would have you to believe that the natural is the highest level of life. I preached this before. Life in the natural is not the highest level of life. The devil is trying to get to that. He's got that in his hands. He's the prince of this world. But that's not the highest level of life. He started in a tadpole, so to speak. He got in a beast. When he got in the beast, that wasn't enough. He got in a woman. Got in a woman, that wasn't enough. She still don't have the full authority. God didn't give the world to a woman. He gave it to a man. Come on, folks! Somebody said, what in the world are you talking about? The Bible said the woman was made for the man. I said the Bible said the woman was made for the man. And the man is the head of the woman. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. Hallelujah. When a man lets a woman rule him, he's perverted. Something wrong with him. Amen. But a woman is a good thing. She can be one with the man. We don't lead God. God leads us. God wasn't made for us. We're made for God. Is that right? But I can be one with God if I'll give myself to him. Hallelujah. I could be one with him. The wife could be one with the husband if she'll give herself to him. Is that right? Are you listening? Hallelujah. So then it's a garden. The highest form of life, what is it? It's not a woman. Because God never gave the world to the woman. He gave it to the man and gave the man the woman. The woman goes with the world. That's why she acts like she does. That's why she's so weak. You have to make a special allowance for us on the weaker vessel. Say amen. Say, are you criticizing women, tearing down women? I certainly am not. A woman is a great, wonderful thing, but she's a weaker species than a man. So God gave the world to the man. Is that right? All right, then what is man? He's the object of worship. That's why Sarah said, Lord. Hallelujah, she said, my Lord. Amen, because the man's the object of worship. She knew that. So then, we see it here in the garden. What is it? It's a beast. It's just like to a man. What does it do? It's still that old lustful passion. It's like unto a man. But see, what is the highest form of life? Not a beast. Satan been used to a higher plane of living in that. He'd been up here in the angelic realms. He was trying to get back in the angelic realms. But he couldn't do that. He kept coming from stages. Like, you know, now they'd like to teach this theory of evolution. Because they say that you just evolve from a tadpole into a monkey. That's the stages of evolution. Why do they do that? Because that's the way that the devil got in. He got in through an evolving process. That's right. Them beasts know it. They know that, and they're getting in through an evolving process. Through the dimensional changes of time. I wish we had time to really go into that tonight. You understand what I'm saying? Thank you. I sure did need one. All right. I'm not going to hold you much longer and try to get into too many things. But let me clarify just a little bit, can I? All right, now look at it just a few minutes now. What is the highest level of living? The devil trying to get back to the place he fell from. Why did God let him fall? Because the only way to take a primitive little baby that don't know nothing and lead it to where you want it to go is to have something that's been over there where you want it to go, bring it over here and let it get its eyes on it and follow it to get it there. Man had never been into heaven, but Satan had. The Bible said he walked among the stones of fire. You're the stones of fire. He walked among you. Jesus said, you're my jewels. You're my stones of fire. Is that right? But he walked among the stones of fire. God took him from the heavenly ranks. Put him down here, let man get his eyes on him, and the Bible said man sought out many inventions, and man kept moving. The devil kept trying to figure out how to get back. So the inventions got better and better, and the facilities got better and better. And by the time they thought they had it made, the devil said, I ain't satisfied with that, let's go to the moon. So I'm just developing these things down here so I could go to the moon. You fellas might be satisfied down here, but everybody said, I've been up yonder. I know there's something better to eat than fat back. I want some steak. Is that right? I've been developing an appetite for it. Because it was God's purpose. Man just followed along. Finally, when he got right over here, got right up to the very infinite, the devil can go all the way through the finite. As long as he can define things through theological means, through scientific efforts, he's all right. But when he gets beyond the microscope, he can't see anything. And so then he got to the finite. He got into the spiritual. When he got there, and that's where we're at today, that place between heaven and earth represents Calvary. That moon, he said, though thou makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. When they landed up there, they called that little thing a nest on the moon, among the stars. Is that right? That is a type of Calvary. Satan got in between. That's where Calvary was, in between, up on a hill, between heaven and earth. Is that right? When he got in between, that's when the Son of God hit him. You follow me? I said, God let him climb that high, and Jesus was made a type of sin to show the death and the fall of Satan. That's right. Now that Satan has got to the moon, he'd like to get control of the sun. Is that right? What caused Jesus' death? Come on now, listen. What caused his death? He made himself equal with God. Come on. Come on. What caused his death? He made himself equal with God. You know, listen at me. Come on now. I said, what caused God to smite Jesus? He said, no flesh shall glory in the presence of God. And Jesus was flesh and bones. He said, fill of me, I'm flesh and bones. The Bible said, no flesh shall glory in the presence of God. And he made himself God. Hallelujah. Is that right? They said, who is he? He said, I am he. Is that right? Sinful flesh. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. When Jesus made himself God, God took him up to Calvary so that no flesh would glory in his presence and smote him and rent him in two. Is that right? That's why God did it, to let us know. Is that right? So then Satan between heaven and earth, he's got up there. But when he reached that point, that was the point that he come down from. You say, how do you substantiate that with the scripture? Because Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Is that right? Show that if Calvary was the type of the moon, isn't that right? Show the moon being up yonder between heaven and earth, is that right? Come on, are you listening? Show that if he's up there between heaven and earth, what's going to happen to him? He said, I'll cast him down to hell, is that right? You climbed up to the major nest among the stars, I'll cast you down to hell, Jesus said. Amen. Why? Because I saw him fall. I saw him fall as lightning from heaven, is that right? The carnal mind has exalted itself up to heaven. Though thou exalted thyself to heaven, I shall abase thee to hell, Jesus said. All right, what is it? I'll tell you what, I wish we could preach this revelation tonight. I'm just going to go into a few things and I'm going to stop because there's so much here I'd have to get into. But now listen, just a few things here. All right, now what is it? Going up to that level, that's as high as it can go. Coming to the finite, Satan has led them up to the finite, falling like little children. Now then, that's as high as it can go. That means that we are at the changing over period. We are at the changing over place. Somebody said, well, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, I done read the Bible through and through. I went back through it and read it through and through. Got down on my knees, just read the Testament through. See, we done absorbed that. We done got that. We done got the education. We done defined everything. We can tell you what a lead pipe is made out of. We can tell you what a monkey is constituted of. We can tell you what the elements are made out of. Is that right? Defined it all down. We done all that. Then what are we going to do? The next thing is to leave the natural word and go into the revelation of Jesus Christ. Satan can't go beyond the veil. Hallelujah. When the veil is rent, Satan is through. Why? I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Glory to God, I feel good. I feel good, good, good. Hallelujah. Amen. Going to the veil, when you get that, find out something has to be rent. When that veil was rent at Calvary, the Red Sea swallowed up the locusts. I said the strong east wind began to blow. And as the locusts covered the earth, the demons, the devils, the strong east wind began to blow. Not a contrary wind of doctrine, but a mighty rushing wind. It's called the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, they that are born of the Spirit, they're like the wind. A mighty east wind, hallelujah, began to sweep over the earth. And the Bible said the locusts went into the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Calvary's the Red Sea. How many of you know that? The blood... For the blood is spilt, the crossing over point. Hallelujah. So when the veil was rent, the locust was swallowed up. Satan was cast out because Satan has to live in the flesh. Will you give me a few more minutes? I'll explain it if you will. What does Calvary mean to us, folks? The time of the promise drew near. Ooh, every time I think about that, something goes up and down my spine. The time of the promise drew near. Oh, Brother Abraham had laid down to sleep and the darkness had come over. But he said, Abraham, at the rending of the veil, when the veil is rent in two, something's going to happen, Abraham. At the rending of the veil, the time of the promise drew near. Something was taking place. Hallelujah. So then here come Calvary. What was it? When if it's sinful flesh, if sin is in the flesh, if the corruption of it is the flesh, then the way to get rid of sin is to get rid of the flesh. Is that right? And the Bible said what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, that is, the flesh was weak and couldn't perform it, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He condemned sin in the flesh. He said He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, for the world was already condemned. But He sent His Son into the world to save the world. Hallelujah. He so loved the world, He wanted to bring it back to His garden condition. I know He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That means while it's in its sinful condition, while it's a curse, you can't do it. But everything that's sanctified by prayer is ours. And when God takes the curse off, it'll be a beautiful garden. He so loved it while it was in its garden-like condition, before it ever gotten sin, that He loved it so much that He gave His Son to bring it back to that original condition. Isn't that right? Show them the Son of God manifested to take away our sins. I might say there was no Son. Then if there's no Son, we're still in our sins. The Son of God made in the likeness of sinful flesh. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. He was made under the law. He was born of a woman, and God sent Him forth in the fullness of the times. But I said the other day, you don't get the benefits of anything in the promises of God until you comprehend it. Is that right? Though it was the fullness of time, Jesus said it's finished. Everything's well. Our salvation is here. We've overcome death, overcome sickness. But see, you don't get the benefits of it till you believe it. And Brother Taylor's preaching divine healing, and he said, by stripes you was healed. I said, Calvary. We went by the whipping poles. But see, you didn't get it until you believed it. Is that right? It's been there all the time, but you didn't get it till you believed it. It's the same way with this. It's been here all the time. We've been free from death ever since Satan was defeated. Jesus said, I have destroyed him that hath power over death, and I have abolished death within my flesh. There's no death in the spirit. Hallelujah. When you die the death of the spirit, you're dying the second death, which is the lake of fire. But to die the death of the flesh, after you've been born again, you just go to sleep. Jesus said, Lazarus sleep, but that's not death. Death is conquered. But we can come to the place now where we don't even have to go to sleep. Hallelujah, we don't have to go to sleep no more. Paul said, I show you a mystery, not all sleep, but be changed. Is that right? He didn't say die, is that right? He said, we all don't even have to sleep anymore, Brother James. Why would you just bypass that too? And show them at Calvary what the law could not do. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that he that walketh after the Spirit and not after the flesh, that there might be no condemnation in him. Is that right? There is now therefore no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Reckon yourselves to be dead by the body of Jesus Christ. Indeed, unto sin and alive unto God, baptized into His name in death, resurrected in the likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. Is that right? That's why remission has to be in His name. He done the dying. He paid the price. He was the one. Hallelujah. What's the purchased possession? You say, what are you preaching, preacher? Well, I feel this way. If Luther preached justification, hallelujah, and Wesley was bold enough to preach sanctification, hallelujah, I feel like preaching glorification. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, where you get that? Because the Bible said God is sanctified once and for all by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, and that's taken care of. The Bible said God has perfected forever them that are sanctified, so you're made perfect without spot, wrinkle, blemish. That's taken care of. The Bible said God has predestinated us according to elect according to foreknowledge. Nobody can't lay nothing to our charge. That's taken care of. Is that right? Hallelujah. Sanctified. The Bible said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So justification is taken care of. But the Bible also says that them that God has sanctified, He has also glorified. So that's taken care of. Is that right? Hallelujah. So we just got to believe it. Somebody said, well, ain't the fivefold ministry going to perfect the saints? The Bible said we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. What is your faith? In other words, Paul said, I'm a helper of your faith. They can't perfect you in righteousness. Jesus did that by the blood. There's no remission without the shedding of blood. And you don't take part in the remission except through the name. Hallelujah. The shedding of blood was at Calvary for every person, but nobody can have it except through the name. He that has been baptized into Christ has put on Christ. If my body is dead but Calvary, and Jesus become me in death and sin to do away with me, then today it's not me that lived, but I'm Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul said it's Christ that lives within me. The life I live with the Son of God. I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for your flesh. It's dead and buried. But seek ye the will of God and those things that be above, where Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Is that right? So today it's not me living, it's Jesus. The life I live with the Son of God. I'm without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing, because I'm dead, buried, gone, and he sees me. I'm tabernacling in the body of Jesus. The Bible said to wit, which means to recognize, to accept the redemption of the body. What are you preaching? The redemption of the body. That marriage today between Brother Rick and Marshall today, what was it? It was typical. I made a statement here a while back. It was typical of the marriage of the Jew and the Gentile coming together. His name means Ricky, king of all. Ricky, remember when you got that thing straight from Kissinger, when Kissinger had to sign that document and send it to you? Because you were born over yonder in the land of the rising sun. You remember that? I talked to you about it. How do you remember that? I said something to you about it. In other words, he was born over in the land of the rising sun, the land of the Japanese. You follow me? It comes from the east. Jesus comes from the east. Is that right? He's numbered with the veil. He's Spanish. His name's Ricky. That means king of all. And Kissinger was the man that was called the king of nations. Is that right? He had to personally sign that document and send it to Ricky and tabbed a red ribbon on it. And when it came, I told him what he meant at this time. And the marriage was to come up. What was the marriage to be? The marriage was to be when the Jew and the Gentile come together. Somebody said it'd never be. They're doing it, my brother. I said they're doing it. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean in the Confederation of Nations coming together. What's it going to be? Come on now. I know Neighbor's Vineyard's over there, but listen just a few minutes now. You say, what are you talking about? I mean, when the Jew and the Gentile come together, it means that the body and the spirit is coming together. It means the redemption of the body. Somebody would say, where do you get that? Paul got a revelation, and Paul said, if the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling of the world, that is to give a revival to the Gentiles, he said, what will it be when he turns back to the Jews but resurrection from the dead? That's redemption of the body. Hallelujah. You say, how can that come? I'm going to close in a few minutes. You say, how could that come, Brother Pike? It could come by one thing. I'll tell you again. Death is swallowed up in victory, O grave. Where is thy victory, O death? Where is thy sting? We perish from death unto life. God heard the groaning of the prisoners, loosed them that was appointed unto death, and today we're born of God and cannot sin. Amen. We can't sin because we're born of God. If we can't sin, we can't die. I said, if we can't sin, we can't die. Death is the enemy of God. Death came by man by unbelief. God never brought death. If death came by man, then why can't man get rid of it? That's the way I feel about it. If death got you by man, why come man can't get rid of it? Amen. I can. If you can't, I can. I said, if you can't, I can. Hallelujah. Amen. Death came by man. Death came by man, not by God. How did it get you? Unbelief. How can you get rid of it? By faith. Somebody said, can you prove it? Old Elijah just looked over and said, it'll be like this, and he believed it, and Jesus said it happened. According to what you believe in your heart, so you are. Is that right? If any man stand on this mountain, be thou removed, don't doubt in his heart, it'll come to pass. That man shall have whatsoever he say. So if the man say, I ain't going to die, he'll never die. Come on now. I said, if he believe it in his heart, not his head now, I can indoctrinate you in the head. It's going to be a message that will go out that will indoctrinate you in the head. But you got to transfer it to the heart. That's when it's enacted in your flesh. You say, I believe in baptism in Jesus' name. Prove it. Be baptized. Come on now. It says, show me your faith by your work. Be baptized. Amen. Is that right? You say, I believe in divine healing, pray for somebody. Somebody said, I believe in living right, then do it. You love the Lord? All right, now, you say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say if death is swallowed up in victory, if you can't sin, then death is conquered. Death is conquered. Paul said, in that day they shall say, in what day? My day. He was way back yonder. Amen. He said, I'm born out of season. I was supposed to have been over in Brother Pike's day. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Had the message for the Gentiles. Said he was apostle of the Gentile church. So then if death is swallowed up in victory, then what is it? Behold, I show you a mystery. You don't have to go to sleep, Brother Pike. Is that right? No, so why not? Well, Elijah didn't go to sleep. Enoch didn't go to sleep. Are you listening? Moses appeared in the Mount of Transfiguration. He lay down, took a little nap, but he got back up. Didn't he? Hallelujah. Abraham lay down, took a little nap, but the Bible said when the rich man saw him, he was over there on the other side. Isn't that right? Over in paradise. Now, you don't even have to take a little nap now. Hallelujah. You say, why, Brother Pike? Because the darkness that was over Abraham's seed was death that would come over it. And to be carnally minded is death. To be reasoning in your intellectual thinking according to the tree of knowledge is to disbelieve. And to disbelieve is to die. But to have the mind of Jesus Christ is the words of life. It's the words of faith. Hallelujah. My words are spirit and life. Can you believe it? God, the Word said, let there be, and there was. God, the Word today through a man says, let there be, and there is. God, tomorrow will say through a man, let there be, and there shall be. Is that right? God will always use a man. It's not the man that speaketh, but God the Word. Is that right? He's the same to every generation, unaltered, unchanged. Today, if God the Word gets in your bosom, you'll act like God. You'll speak like God. Things will happen according to what God said. Is that right? Hallelujah. Jesus said, walk in me, my word abide in you, and you abide in my word, that is in the Spirit. He said, you ask what you will, it'll be done unto you. Is that right? Walk in the Spirit. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Abide in the Spirit, for he said, if you walk in my word, that's the Spirit. And if the Spirit, the word abides in you, you in the Spirit, and the Spirit is there. Ask what you will, it'll be done. Is that right? Why? Because that'll make your faith work. You love the Lord? All right, and finding place to close here. Now, these closing remarks, there's a whole lot of things I'd like to say. But his closing remarks, what is it? The beast must die, but not the man that's made in the image. I travail till the image be formed within you, Paul said. Is that right? Inner and outer conflict between the old man and the inner man. Abstain from fleshly desire or lust that warreth against the inner man of Christ, the flesh warring against the spirit. Is that right? They're contrary one to another. One believes in the carnal mind of the serpent seed. One believes in the mind of Christ of life on the inside. We could go in that and explain it, but we won't try to. You understand what I'm saying? So then one of them has to die. Is that right? So then reckon yourself to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, buried in baptism. Now it's not you living, but him. Is that right? So the old outer man's dead. Leave him dead. Leave him dead. Is that right? Be the body of the Lord Jesus Christ from here on out. Now, if there's no more you, there's no more sin. Is that right? Come on now. He is baptized into Jesus. Put on Jesus. Is that right? All right, there's no sin in Jesus. Is that right? Somebody said, well, I'm still in my own body. Well, you need to die. You need to die. See, there's no sin in his body. Your body of sin's dead and gone, buried. Is that right? All right, there's no condemnation to you. There's no condemnation. You can't sin anymore. Why? Because you're the resurrected Christ. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You can't never die no more. The Bible said he did die, but now he's risen from the dead to die no more. You can't never die. When you discover this with the redemption, find out you don't have to go take a nap. You understand what I'm saying? Behold a mystery, not all sleep. Paul said if you can learn the mystery, you don't have to sleep. What is the mystery? Knowing that death is conquered, understanding how it's conquered, and believing what you hear and understand. That's the secret of it. You believe? All right, then there's no more death. Where's death? It's swallowed up in victory. What is the victory? The faith that overcometh the world. Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. Is that right? So then we have that victory, my brother. We have all power over the enemy, which is our faith. And the last enemy is death. And when we find out that we cannot sin, if the sting of death is sin and there's no more sin, there's no more sting in death. If there's no more sting in death, then the bumblebee's helpless. We don't have to sleep anymore. Is that right? Then we say, oh, death, where's thy sting? Jesus took it out at Calvary. Well, then said, grave, how are you going to have a victory? Where's your victory? Can't have one. It's all gone. You understand what I'm saying? So then the saying shall be brought to pass. Death, where's thy sting? Grave, where's thy victory? The last enemy be conquered. I know the last enemy be conquered, which will be after the millennium, when the grave shall deliver up their dead and they're cast into the lake of fire. Then the end of death, the Bible said death is cast in the lake of fire. That's for the people on the earth. But brother, we, the days shortened for the elect's sake, we done come past that. We got it at Calvary. All that happened at Calvary. All we got to do is believe. We'll be translated, raptured, caught up, taken away. Is that right? Changed from glory to glory as we believe. Like Enoch, escaped death by faith. For the Bible said Enoch was translated by faith. Is that right? Have you listened to what I say? You believe it? All right. So then it's a great day, isn't it? And the time of the promise drew near. I believe it. What is the promise? The Bible said the purchased possession, the redemption of the body. The purchased possession, the redemption of the body. Is that right? The redemption of the body. At last, my brothers and sisters, the redemption of the body is here. Here. Glorification. Brother Taylor sings is here, is here, is here. The glorification, the redemption of the body. What do you mean? The message is in the land. The message is in the land. Start believing. When the message of healing came in the land, them that were sick began to believe and they got healed. When the message came for salvation, them began to believe, got saved. The message of redemption is here in the land. The redemption of the body, death is overcome. Start believing. Hallelujah, that's what we're supposed to do. Hallelujah. God's looking for a church, hallelujah, that's going to believe. You don't have to sleep. Don't you believe His Word? The Bible, somebody says, I can't believe it, but that's what the Word said. And the Bible teaches that in the day when you come into the Word, if you don't believe it, you can't go on with God. All right, listen, right close now, as I close. The Word, God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, doing what? Speaking through a man. Speaking through a man. Every generation, He spoke through Elijah, spoke through Moses, spoke through Jesus, spoke through Brother Branham, spoke through Abraham. Come on, folks. Spoke through Paul the Apostle. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that the revelation of Jesus Christ is actually the coming of the Lord Jesus suddenly into His temple to be glorified in His saints. Cause all the world to wonder after His saints. Is that right? Not after the beast. Somebody said, what do you mean wonder after the beast? I mean the beast is the flesh and everyone that leans to the flesh is a beast. Somebody said, what is the mark of the beast? Sin. The soul that sinned shall surely die. Is that right? And somebody said, what do you mean wandering after the beast? Everyone wanders after the flesh. Makeup, food, lust, the things of the world. Satan saves the things that be of the flesh. When you wander after the flesh, you're wandering after the beast. All the world wandered after the educational system. After the lust, after the beast, after the flesh. The head up in a man over yonder, a superman somewhere out yonder calls himself God. That's right. You believe that? All right, now, but we are wondering not after that. We walk after the Spirit to head up in Jesus Christ, the coming of the revelation. I'm going to say this, and I want you to get it real clear now. Listen, Paul said, may God give you the spirit of revelation and wisdom and knowledge in His Word. Is that right? Why did he say that? Because you've got to have it to be translated. It's the coming of that great light from inside. The coming of the great light. How many of you know there's a ball of fire in the heart of the earth? Everything works together. Ball of fire in the heart of the earth is breaking out. It's eating the crust the way science say eating it out. Why? It's coming to glorify the earth. Going to purge it, burn it. See, everything has a type on the inside. There's something burning within you. It's God, the consuming fire, consuming the light, the brightness of His coming, destroying the man of perdition, the perversion, the outer man of education. See, it's burning the chaff out, doing away with the darkness, bringing the light. It did it so much that Moses glowed. Did it so much that Brother Bannon glowed. Is that right? Moses had to put a veil over his face when it come out. It's going to come out and redeem your body. It's working in your blood genetics. It's in there, like radio. This radioactive thing. You know, you can be illuminated by getting touch plus radioactivity or whatever it is. Just glow, you know. Well, it's coming out. It's working out all the time. Working out. Hail from beneath has moved itself for to meet thee at thy coming. Is that right? Enlarge itself without measure. Consuming him, coming out, consuming him, consuming him. That's right, change him into the image of the beast. But the thing I want to stick to your minds tonight is this one thing. Paul said, it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb. He chose me to reveal Christ in my life. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? To reveal Christ in your life, coming forth, the hope of glory. Is that right? God reveals Himself in a human being, always Christ revealed within a man. Is that right? It pleased God to reveal His Son Jesus through Paul. Is that right? God always does that. Always. So then the highest form of living is the sons of God. Higher than the plane of natural man's living. They're on a higher plane of living and Satan can't get into that. He has to settle for the beast image, which is the man. Is that right? The highest plane of living. But God lives in the highest plane of living, which is the third heaven. And we can't go in that. He lives in the highest plane of living, which is in the sons of God. Is that right? Little children, first heaven, woman, second heaven, man, third heaven. Lot would have to go into that. But you understand what I'm saying. The chief place of control. So Brother Branham, he's up a little high. There's another dimension to come yet. Said they'll have on the long dresses. Is that right? I don't want you to stand with me. I know you can tell I'm tired in preaching these messages. The last few messages I preached, I've been tired. I know you can tell it. I'll get rested up. You just wait. I'll get rested up. Praise God. You love the Lord? Something is taking place, folks. Something is taking place. Hallelujah. Be spiritual minded, Paul said. Don't, when tomorrow comes, don't go to thinking back natural. Stay in what you're learning. Stay in what you're receiving. Stay in what you're understanding. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge. Stay in it. The time of the promise drew nigh. And I believe that the purchased possession, which is a redemption of the body, the time of the promised son, for he said, and there shall be born a son. Thou shalt have a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And when the man child was caught, he was immediately caught up. When he was born, he was immediately caught up to the throne. The woman had her foot on the moon when the travail come. Isn't that right? The days of the Egyptians was fulfilled. Civilization come out of Egypt, she's going right back to the oil. Egypt's got the oil. She's turning right back to her nativity. We come out of the Jews. Salvation's of the Jew. When the world formates in the confederation of churches, throws the Jews down and turns to their head, which is that old magician world. You know how that Egypt is a land of enchantment and magicians and all those kind of things. You know that. What do they call it? Arabian night and all that kind of thing. And they're chanting. They're going back to their heads, the magicians of Egypt. But we're going back to Jesus, which is the Jew. Isn't that right? He was born among the Jews. We're going back to our head too. You watch and see if that devil don't spring up out of Arabia. Come out of Arabian move. Watch and see. Jesus will come through the eastern gates of Jerusalem. When will he do it? When death is conquered. How do you know that? My friend, it's being conquered. If it came by man, then man can conquer it. If he let it in, he can kick it back out. That's right. That's right. To disbelieve God's words of life is to die. To believe God's words of life is to pass from death unto life. It's a transformation of the mind. Paul said, be you therefore transformed with a new mind. Translation of your spirit, for God hath translated us into the kingdom. Transfiguration of the body, for they were transfigured on the mount. So then it's a different day, a different time. It's a different time. We're going back to our originality. That's why people are beginning to wear beards. Women begin to wear long dresses. People begin to fix up the old antique automobiles, make the houses look like antique homes. Wanting grandma's rocking chair, everything's going back to its origin. Wherever it come from, that's where it's going back. Seed grow up, get the rain, the sunshine, it tossles out, it falls back, it goes back down to where it came from. What kind of seed are you tonight? I'm a foreknowledge predestinated elect. What about you? Somebody said, how do you know you are? I know it because I believe it. And because I believe it, I know it. That's the way you get to be, is by faith. Hallelujah. Abraham,
your seed will sojourn in bondage. But when the days of the old carnal educational system is over, the darkness will leave. I'll rend the veil. Calvary took it away. You're free from death through the rending of the veil. And then when I do, I'll bring forth the mind of Jesus Christ, the heavenly places, the revelation of the Ark of the Covenant that's on the inside. You're God's veil tonight. You're God's temple. But God is rending you tonight, rending you and melting you away. He's rending you, the circumcision of the heart, the putting away of the old man, the sign of circumcision given Abraham, seed. He's taking the old man off and putting on the new man. You're changing, whether you know it or not. You're changing, becoming flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. You're not the old man you used to be. You go back and check up and see if you're the same fellow you used to be. There's a change going on. Paul said change from glory to glory. There's a change. Once a change is completed, then death will be conquered. Then when we have thoroughly conquered death, we can't die. And death is no more got any strength. When he don't have any more strength, then daddy and mama and the different ones that's laying in the grave will get up. They'll get up. You say, how can they get up? Because you've conquered death. Death can't hold them any longer. You've conquered death. When a man of God walked up to a dead man, if he had the faith and he conquered death, that man got out. That's right. Jesus walked up to the tomb and said, Lazarus, come out. He had power over death. He believed it. When old Elijah and him walked up to them and Peter up to Dorcas and said, get up. They had power over death. When you come to the same place, contend for the faith, deliver to the saints, you conquer death. Then daddy and mama will get up out of the grave. It can't hold them any longer. Death will be conquered. You're the ones, the last enemy. We'll conquer it. Brother Wilson sang that song, Satan, your kingdom is coming down. I believe that. Everything going back to its origin. Isn't that wonderful? Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing the song, I love him because he is mine. I love him because he is mine. Sing it with me, will you? I love him because he's divine. I will love him forever, it seems. Oh, he's Jesus the Nazarene. Sing it again, will you? I love him because he is mine. I love him because he's divine. I will love him forever, it seems. Oh, he's Jesus the Nazarene. You know, natural people are looking up into a natural heaven for a natural God to appear. Isn't that right? And there's going to be one that'll take control on the moon and he'll appear as their God. You watch and see. But there's a spiritual man living in a little tabernacle. And he's looking through the eyes of his understanding and he sees a revealed Christ coming from heaven. That is from the Spirit. The Spirit is heaven. And he sees him coming, appearing into this earth, right here. Is that right? And he's watching him coming. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Neither shall they say, lo, nor here. The kingdom of God is within you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. From within you. From within you. He comes to be glorified in his saints. Is that right? Conquering the outer death from the life-given power of within. Overcoming the outer by the inner. Is that right? Bringing it under subjection. So then, while we're singing this little chorus, I love him because he is mine. I want you to shut your eyes. And I want you to see him tonight through the eyes of your understanding. He's breaking the eastern skies. Don't forget now, a natural Jew parallels with a natural world. And they're looking for a natural Jesus. And he'll come too, a natural Jew, in his coming. And his coming is not far away. But when the natural Jesus comes to the natural Jew, the spiritual Christ will already have come to the spiritual Jew. Natural Jesus, the head of the natural Jews. Spiritual Christ, the head of the spiritual Jew. Is that right? The religious Antichrist, the head of the world, Achunda, that lives it up in the flesh. Satan loves the things of the flesh. He'll personify himself in the flesh. But now, we're looking for coming, the coming of the Lord suddenly in his temple. In his temple to be glorified in his saints. That's where I'm looking for him. He's a spirit, a quickening spirit. The Bible said we have known him after the flesh, but from henceforth we know him no more after the flesh, but as a quickening spirit, a revelation. He's coming, the brightness of his coming, appearing from within. He's coming. How many believe he's coming? He's coming. Like in the vision, I said, do you see these things that's happening in heaven? And I kept watching him things in heaven. Can you see them things in heaven tonight? If you can see in the Spirit, you can see them things in heaven. Jesus said, I'm in heaven. What do you mean? I'm in the Spirit. I'm in the Spirit. You're sitting together in heavenly places. Not of this world. God has raptured you out of the world, translated you out of the world, said, chosen you out of the world. Say, where am I? Hid with Christ. Where? Christ. Where? In God, whom the heavens have received. Where are you? In heaven. In heaven, Jesus said, I'm here with Christ. He's in heaven. The heavens have received me. I've been translated into his kingdom. The Bible said God has translated me into his marvelous kingdom. So then we're looking inwardly. We're looking. By the time the natural Jew comes to the natural Jews, the natural Jesus that is, time he comes to the natural Jews, the spiritual Christ will already have come to the spiritual Jew, sealed the bride in. Translated her into his kingdom. Is that right? And when Paul's moment and twinkling of an eye comes, that will be at the coming of Jesus to the Jews. But when he comes to the Jews, my brother, we will already be sealed in. And when he comes on the scene to come to the Jews, that'll be it for us. Because our work will already be finished in the inner man. They're going to miss it because they're looking for a visible God when Paul said he is the invisible God. And said they endured as seeing God who is a spirit invisible. Is that right? I'm looking for the invisible God, ain't you? Right, I see him. Jesus said, I do always the things I see him do through the eyes of my understanding. I see God. I see God. I see God. Okay, let's sing it again. I love him because he is mine. I love him because he's divine. I will love him forever, it seems. Oh, he's Jesus the Nazarene. When the last trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise. The dead in Christ shall rise. Hallelujah. Close your eyes for just a few moments. I want to pray for you. Then I'm going to turn this service to our brother Frank to dismiss you. Just close your eyes for a minute. If you're sick, need a touch in your body, need help. Hallelujah. I caught the spirit of Sister Duncan the other night. Couple of nights ago. She seems to be a fine woman, not rebellious toward the truth. But really wondering, she just can't understand what's going on, just wondering and trying to figure it out, trying to stay as humble as she knows how until she can find out the reality of it so she don't make the wrong move. Which is a very wise thing to do. But the Lord will give you understanding if you'll just watch and be careful. He'll make you to understand. All them that be of God have a good understanding. Father of heaven tonight, I want to pray, Lord, for these that have their hands outstretched to Thee, and these that have humbled their hearts tonight. Lord, You've always worked through a man, and we've got men in this building tonight. God, You have no other personification in earth except the membership of Your body, to which Jesus, being the head of the church, shall come. And tonight, being bone of Your bone and flesh of Your flesh, not us that speak but You, Father, tonight, bless these people. Father, tonight, heal these people. Father, tonight, as I feel the anointing, forgive these people. Father, touch the people with Your Spirit tonight. Heal, Jesus. God, break every yoke tonight and take away the bondages. Lift them up and elevate them into the wonderful heavenly places. Father, as we sit together, hallelujah, in these wonderful places, I ask You to heal them and bless them tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus. In the wonderful name of Jesus.